Imagine with me this morning a scene at the Jordan River. A man who has been sent from God, whose name is John, immerses a man in the water, and he sees something that God had told him that he would see. And John had been watching all the time that he had been immersing people in different places in Judea, but never before had there been the descending of a dove in the Holy Spirit, rather, in the form of a dove, and lighting upon that person whom had just been immersed. And John said in verse 34 of chapter 1 of the book of John, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." God sent John to prepare a people. And these people were to constitute a group or an organization, an institution that would bear his name and preach the truths of God on this earth. We refer to it by the name of a church. And we'd like to be a witness to the very things that John was a witness to, because of all the things that may be important on earth, this is, I think, the most important to us as individuals. John pointed to Jesus in verse 29, the Bible records, and said of him, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." I'd like to introduce you this morning to the ministry of John the Baptist and the Lamb of God. The ministry of John the Baptist and the Lamb of God. John was sent. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And the Bible tells us that his coming to this earth had been foretold by Isaiah as he spoke of having the way prepared and of preparing a people for the Son of God who would come. And he would come for the purpose of bearing away the sins of the world. The Bible tells us that John, the writer of the book of John, introduced him in the very first words of his writing as the Word. W-O-R-D. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God, in fact, John writes. And then the Bible tells us that John said that Jesus is the light of the world, and the light shined, and men loved darkness rather than light. John did not live many years after he began his ministry, because he fulfilled the purpose for which he had been born. And that purpose was to identify and introduce to the Jewish nation the Messiah, the promised one, the one that had been promised since Abraham, the one that had been promised since Adam and Eve, really, someone who would take away the sins of human beings. We understand that John did not go unchallenged. That is, there were people who came to talk to him, to question him about himself. Who are you? In fact, that's the question that they ask him in verse 19, and this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And John confessed and denied not. That is, he did not confess to being someone he wasn't. He did not deny being someone whom he was. But his confession was, "I'm not the Christ." I think that gives you something to look at as a revelation of the character of John the Baptist. He wasn't a man filled with fear. He could have said, "I am the Christ," that is, "I'm the anointed one of God. I'm the one people have been looking for centuries. I am that man." And some would have worshipped him had he said that. Others would have been angry, and they would have sought to kill him. But John said, "I'm not the Christ. I'm not the person you may think I will claim to be." And they ask him, "What then? Art thou Elijah?" And he said, "I'm not." "Art thou that prophet?" That is, the prophet that Moses had spoken of. And he said, "No." Then they said unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" A very intense interrogation. And these people had a right to know. They were not being mean or argumentative. A lot of rumors had circulated about John immersing people in different places, rebuking the religious bigots of his age. So they said, "We're going to be very plain with you. We want to know who you are." And John said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." And that's who he was. "I'm a voice. It doesn't make any difference who my parents were, really. It doesn't make any difference what my tribe is. It doesn't really make any difference what I'm wearing. It doesn't make any difference if my voice is loud or if it's low. It doesn't make any difference if I've come from this part of our nation or another part of our nation. What really counts is my voice. That's all I am. I am a voice. And I was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah," Isaiah 40, verse 3 and 4. The reason they ask him about Elijah is because in the book of Malachi, before the Lord's prophet came, or the Lord's anointed came, Elijah was to appear. So that's why they were asking him about Elijah. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptize thou then? Why are you immersing people? If thou be not that Christ, that anointed one, nor Elijah, neither that prophet whom Moses spoke of." John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water. But there stands one among you whom ye know not." In their midst, there somewhere in the crowd was someone that these people did not have an intellectual or emotional recognition of as to his existence among them. They had seen the shadow. They had never seen the substance. "He it is," John said, "who coming after me is preferred before me." That is, he is far greater than me. "And I'm not worthy to tie his shoelaces. I'm not worthy to unloose them and take his sandals from his feet. Now the Bible tells us that these things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He was, and he'll always be the Lamb of God. And as such, he is to take away, to lift up, and to bear away, to carry off the sins of the whole human race. You say, but if I believe in Jesus Christ, then he will carry away my sins. Yes, but he has already carried away your sins. He atoned for every transgression that has ever been or ever will be committed on this earth by a human being. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away, takes up and bears away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. The word lamb as an offering is mentioned first in the book of Exodus from the viewpoint of the Israelites. The Bible tells us that the Israelites were in bondage to the Egyptians. They lived as slaves because they were. Oh, they had gone to the land, prospered and done well, but their number threatened the Egyptians and they were afraid of a revolt. And so they began to lay undoable work upon them. They began to slaughter their children so that they could control the rate of the Israelites' growth. So they were groaning, as the scriptures tell us, under the weight of the oppression of the Egyptians. And their existence was a miserable existence. And they groaned and cried out to God to help them and deliver them. And their situation appeared to be hopeless because they were not as many in number. They were not a trained military force. They did not have possessions enough to buy their freedom. There was no other nation interested in coming to their aid. They were lost, helpless, enslaved, burdened. And God had a plan to lift that burden and to get them from that land of slavery to a land that flowed with milk and honey, a land of plenty that would be their land and their land forever and forever. And God had a very simple plan to get them out from under the military force of the Egyptian army. Now, no one on earth could have thought of it. No one on earth could have worked it. It didn't have to do with political alliances. It didn't have to do with chariots and war horses and swords. These people were helpless. So it took the blood of a lamb. You do what I tell you to do, and you'll be free of the consequences of your sins. You'll be free of the bondage of Egypt. You'll be free from the burden of slavery to another nation. Just do what I tell you to do. And in their desperation, they did what God told them to do. They slew a lamb, they took the blood, and they applied it upon the doorpost. And God had said of the death angel, as he swept through Egypt, when he sees the blood, he will pass over you. We sang a song about that even today. And that is the blood of the lamb of whom John spoke. It is the blood of the slaughtered lamb of Isaiah 53. It was a puzzle to the Jewish people as they read this chapter. They didn't quite understand. They were like the person who was reading the book of Isaiah as he traveled back to his homeland. That is the Ethiopian eunuch, and he was reading, and one of God's men asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, I need someone to guide me. I need help." It puzzled the Jews. It puzzled people who read it. Who's this man writing or speaking of? Is he writing of himself, or is he writing of someone else? Who is the figure of whom Isaiah writes? And we read that he was bruised for our iniquities, that he was slaughtered as a sheep for our sins. The lamb of the Mosaic system, that is the law of Moses, was a bloody system of liturgic worship. That is, it occurred over and over and over and over and over for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, centuries. Same thing, done according to the plan that God gave Moses. Bullocks were slain. Lambs were slain. Red heifers were slain. Pigeons were slain. Sparrows were slain. And the blood ran red and deep on the altars of the tabernacle, the first temple, the second temple, the temple in which Jesus walked as a child, where he was taught and where he worshiped, where he asserted his authority over the money changers. Blood constantly being spilled. But as Paul would write in the book of Hebrews, it was the blood of bulls and of goats. And it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats could carry away and pay for our sins. It took the sinless, spotless blood of Jesus Christ that John wrote of. When he wrote that we are not saved by silver and gold, but we are saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who was slain. He was a lamb without blemish. He was a lamb without spot. And as he was slain, our sins were paid for, and they were carried away. 1 Peter chapter 1. For as much as you know, verse 18, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain or empty lifestyle, vain conversation, your empty and useless life, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's what John meant when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And it's what we will sing of someday as we fulfill the prophecy of the book of Revelation, where we will sing of being redeemed from every tribe and tongue, and from every nation, and from every family that's ever lived on this earth. And we will sing of his praises and of his sacrifice. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And then the Bible tells us that John said, "This is he," of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. In other words, this is the person I was talking about when you asked me who I was. And he said, I knew him not. That is, I had not been shown the sign that God gave me so that I would be absolutely and positively sure to make the right identification. But that he should be made manifest to Israel. That is, the curtain would be drawn back and all of Israel would be able to see him for who he is. John said, therefore am I come baptizing in water. In other words, one of the purposes that I immerse people is because one of these days I'm going to immerse a man and there'll be a dove, a come down, and it'll be the Holy Spirit and it'll light upon him. And that's what I'm baptizing for, to find the Messiah and to identify these people whom I'm immersing as those who want to be identified with the kingdom of God. John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Upon whom? Upon Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And he said, and I knew him not. That is, I didn't know him in this role, in this that God had prophesied earlier. I knew him as my cousin. My mother told me of what he had of the prophecy and of Mary and my cousin. I knew who he was, but I had never seen nor had I heard what I needed to see and hear until I baptized him. I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Spirit. John said, I saw that phenomenon occur. And he said, this is the Son of God. There are a lot of things said about religion. And there are a lot of things offered to comfort and to give solace to the human race. And there's a lot of religion in this world. But the only thing that really counts is the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of millions and millions of bulls and goats just saturated the ground and made a shadow or a type of the one who would die on the cross. There are a lot of magnificent church buildings and a lot of extraordinary services that go on inside these magnificent buildings. And throughout the entire world, there's almost unbelievably beautiful music that's sung and played. But the only thing that's really important when it comes to your sins and my sins is the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, you may not feel a need. You may be in jail and not know it. You may be burdened and unconscious of it. But the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't mean that we are the meanest people on earth. But it does mean that in our human nature, we are not capable of living so well that living well, living good, being honest and being true, that all of that will be a substitute for the sins of our hearts and minds and our bodies. We can do a lot of good as human beings, but we cannot deliver ourselves from the consequences of our sins. No matter how much good we do, no matter how many tears we shed, no matter how brokenhearted we are, no matter how sincere we are, until we acknowledge ourselves as sinners, saying, God, I have not lived a perfect life. I know that I am a person who has fallen short of what you demand and what your word teaches. And I am helpless. And so I turn my heart and I turn my mind to the cross upon which Jesus died. And in my vision, I say to you, Lord, I want you to take what happened there on that cross. I want you to take what was accomplished there, and I want you to impute it to me. I want you to credit what happened there. Dear God, credit that to me. That's what we call having faith. That's what we call trusting. Just say, God, I'm helpless. Take everything that happened on the cross and what Jesus purchased when he shed all of his blood, take that and put it down to my account. God, I accept it. I receive it. I want it. I need it. I must have it. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. As one of the men who was at the crucifixion of Christ said, surely this was the Son of God. And this is what causes us to be right in God's sight. This is what causes us to have our sins forgiven. This is what gives us eternal and everlasting life. A lot of other things to follow, but this is that which gives us life in God. I see everything in respect to human life that can be seen in the sense of the age and standing of people. I don't know how many hundreds of people that I've been before to say to them exactly what I say to you this morning. But there are children who know what I'm talking about this morning. And there are people who today are not expected to live until tomorrow who know what I'm talking about. You need the blood of Jesus Christ in your life. You need forgiveness. You need to be born again. You need to be given everlasting, eternal life. And the only way you're going to find it is in Christ. That's not a Baptist doctrine. That's a Bible truth. One of these days, either in an accident or lying down from the ravages of disease, you're going to die. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. I've preached the funerals of 8-year-olds and 10-year-olds and 15-year-olds and 20-year-olds and 90-year-olds. You never know. Behold the Lamb of God. Please stand with me.